Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:22 British Summer Time. Today is August 3rd, and today a rather interesting day in Asia because you had Indonesia, which has been one of the leaders, and not only one of the leaders, but one of the best absolute performers, and one of a small number of markets that has broken upwards to new high ground this year, pulled back rather sharply. Now, it had become rather overextended. Well, comparatively overextended compared to its 200-day moving average, and that really would need to be taken out to really question the consistency of the medium-term uptrend. But the fact that we've had such a remarkably impressive performance right across Asia, and we have one of the leaders pulling back a little bit sharply. Now, of course, there is the added reason for that there's an interest rate announcement expected tomorrow, and speculation has increased that they're going to begin to rise interest rates, and I don't think the market had been really expecting that. But notwithstanding that individual piece of news, we see that the rest of Asia paused somewhat in here today, with the Hang Seng was up 0.2%, the Australian index was up 0.2%, but India, Korea, while up on the day, were off their highs, and even though Singapore closed off its closed up on the day, it was well off its open in here. So we have seen that a number of these markets have raced over the last month, and a number of them have broken upwards, and they're a little bit overbought in the very short term. Elsewhere in Europe today, the majority of markets were relatively unchanged at the close, and it's a relatively similar story. They've had a very, very good performance, but yesterday was an impressive day right across Europe and the USA, and the majority of markets held on or improved upon their performance in here today. Into the close, the S&P was down just 5 points, and having had a very strong day yesterday, that's really quite impressive. Elsewhere, today we saw that the gold price held in the region of 1186, but both platinum and palladium pulled back rather sharply. Palladium, having broken above the $500 level, came back and found support at it in here today, and it really does need to hold on to the gain that it's had, or at least half of the gain it's had over the last month. Palladium is relatively similar. It went up and had a look at $1,600 and pulled back below it in here today. So that's another one. Provided it can find support or hold about 50% of its most recent gain from the lower side of its range, which I think is around $1,500, then we can probably continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. If it pulls back violently tomorrow, well, then that'll probably be more looking like a failed upside break, and it would increase the likelihood of a retest of the $1,500 level in no uncertain terms. And silver was relatively unchanged in here today, but continues to hold above this $18 level. Elsewhere in the metal complex, just about all of the industrial metals were a little bit softer in here today, but again, they are another asset class that has absolutely raced over the last month or so, and they are also a little bit overbought in the short term. So really, it's a very similar situation right across risk assets, that we've had a very good performance over the last month, and there are short-term overbought conditions that have developed. And the question, I think, on a lot of minds is whether we're going to see a short-term consolidation of those gains and allow that mean to catch up a little bit, or are they going to pull back and back below those 200-day moving averages and go back and test the lows. And at the moment, I think we can probably continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, but it does look like we are in for a little bit of a consolidation of these recent gains. In the energy complex, natural gas finished out the day a little bit softer. It spent most of the day in positive territory, but closing out the day 3 cents lower, which is following through on yesterday's key day reversal. So natural gas remains under pressure. On the other hand, You have the oil price, which pushed through $80 yesterday, improved upon that performance in here today. It was up another dollar and is pu closing in on the highs in the region of $84 to $85. And a downward dynamic really would be needed to question scope for it to push through that level. Considering the fact that we have industrial metals having been so very firm and interest returning to the energy complex, because of course it's not just oil, and natural gas is a bit of a special case because of the massive additional supply that's being brought online through the unconventional oil plays, primarily in the USA but increasingly in Europe, and that's keeping a lid on prices in the short and potentially medium term. But elsewhere in the energy complex, you have oil pushing on to test its recovery highs. Then there is steaming coal, uranium, a number of the vegetable oils, which are looked on as part of the energy complex because of biodiesel, are also performing really quite impressively here. So there's a large degree of commonality, and importantly, the gasoline price also remains really quite firm, and that has often led crude oil prices in the past, and particularly around this time of the year, which is heading into the driving season. So that's all positive for the energy complex, and we have the relative strength of industrial metals as well, and that's really quite positive for the global economy if these commodities are in increasing demand, and we're not yet at a point where oil would cause inflationary problems. So, with stock markets doing quite well but a little bit overbought, and the same situation in industrial metals, that does suggest that the most likely scenario over the next couple of weeks is a bit of a consolidation. And in the absence of really quite clear downward dynamics, and particularly if they were to occur against a background of commonality against or across a large number of instruments and indeed asset classes, then there is no reason to believe that that is anything other than a short-term consolidation. Now, on the other side of the equation, you have the so-called safe havens, and the dollar remains weak in here. It was weaker by 53 ticks against the euro, and the euro has remains in really quite a consistent short-term advance, and it has established itself now back above the 130 area, and it's currently at 132. The pound has established itself above 155, and it is closing in on 160 at 159.51 in here today. And elsewhere, both the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar, as well as the Canadian dollar, have all firmed really quite considerably over the last couple of weeks. And indeed, in Asia, we see that the Singapore dollar is closing in on all-time highs against the US dollar. And I can't think of a currency, or particularly a globally significant currency, that is weakening against the dollar in here. Now, perhaps the strange case is the yen, because that is continuing to strengthen, and I can't think of any particular reason why the yen should be strengthening, but it certainly is, and it was stronger against the US dollar in here today by 62 ticks. But against other currencies, that is certainly not the case, and against the pound or indeed the euro, they both appear to be basing, and until comparatively recently, both of those currencies were written off as serial underperformers. But they are showing signs of life, not only against the US dollar but against other currencies as well, having been really quite oversold, and the stress tests that were concluded in July by the Europeans, despite some grumblings about transparency, have, I think, to a certain extent done their job, and we are seeing that the European markets have responded really quite well. So that is is all really quite positive. Now, US Treasuries were a bit firmer in here today. They're back up to the 128 level. JGBs are testing their highs. And the, for example, US Treasuries have been ranging for much of the last month between 125 and 130, and today's strength is countermanding yesterday's pullback. So it's they are the safe haven asset that have certainly been doing best over the last couple of weeks. And it does speak of the continued war between supply and demand that we have in here, because the US Treasury market up here at 128 is well, I don't see a lot of value in it unless one really is subscribing to the a double dip recession in the US or a very long deflationary process indeed. And while the double dip hypothesis certainly can't be ruled out, I don't think that we're going to have the lengthy deflationary pressures that appear to be being priced into some of these government bond prices. So, at the moment, the uptrend for US Treasuries remains consistent, and the progression of higher lows would need to be taken out, and they're currently in the region of 125, so probably a little bit more than that, closer to 126. They would need to be taken out to really confirm the bearish case, and that hasn't been that hasn't happened just yet. Even though I have reservations about the value that is in US Treasuries, there is absolutely no denying that that trend is still in motion and still reasonably consistent. And provided that remains the case, we can probably continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I posted charts today of the TED spread and the OIS spread and the US yield curve. And the TED spread and the OIS spread have pulled back, having really having rallied and probably rattled people into June, but they appear to have now formed a medium-term top. So that is an indication that the stress in the banking system is decreasing. And the steepness of the yield curve has also topped out. We've seen that other current excuse me, other countries that have been probably economically stronger, their yield curves topped out in the region of 6 months ago. But the US yield curve now also appears to have topped out. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to have a recession. That when the yield curve becomes inverted, that is a much better indication that we're going to have a recession, and that's certainly not the case in here right now. What we are seeing is that stimulus is gradually being removed, and to a certain extent, that is a net positive because it is an indication that policymakers think that the economy can survive on its own without remarkable stimulus, particularly that has been injected over the last few years. The process of taking the patient off of all these painkillers is not without its own risks, but the fact is that conditions, even though they have become less accommodative, are still remarkably accommodative by historical standards, and that would suggest that we are probably quite a while yet from the next recessionary environment. And if that is the case, then the chances are that Wall Street is not going to go back and revisit its March 2009 lows, as a large number of the bears are predicting, but rather that the most likely scenario is that we're going to see probably some continued ranging, and with probably a somewhat higher probability than over the last few months that we could see additional high ground in this recovery. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.